When he told me about his daughter, I quoted to him what Mr. Barnard said in preaching, and he was a well-educated man, but sometimes he'd get down to where folks live, and he said, if you've got to invite someone to Christ, you aren't in spitting distance of God. And that's true. If God ever convicts one, lays hold of their heart, in mercy, he will not let them go. And you don't have to offer an invitation. They're gonna get to Christ. And we shouldn't have excuses. Well, they didn't give an invitation. The reason we don't is that Christ is no more down at the front of this building than he is at the back. It's not you physically getting to Christ, it is you in heart getting to him. And if you ever get there, the one thing that you will do is, as you heard, you will keep on keeping on seeking. It will never stop. If you ever settle down and build your little nest, you're in trouble. It is a walk. It is a daily walk. You must press on. Would you turn with me this morning to Genesis, the 4th chapter? He was telling you about telling you things you already knew, and that's what I will be doing, telling you things you already know. As a matter of fact, somewhere in the past month, I want to quote best I can, paraphrase a couple or three verses that I shared with you then. And I hope God, by His Spirit, will make them effectual to your heart. Before we read Genesis 4, would you bow with me as we seek His face? Our Father, in Christ's name, and His alone, and in His merit, do we approach nigh unto Thee. And we read of the veil being torn, rent, and it's hard for us to see that there was Christ. And Lord, the children at times have a greater difficulty in honest and open prayer and in seeking Thee than do religious folks. Because we're coming to understand something of Thy person, Thy holiness. And the more time passes with us, the more we become aware of our own sinfulness. And holiness and sinfulness have no meeting place. So if it was not for Christ stepping in between thee, a holy God, and us, a sinner, we could not approach thee. So we do so in his name, and we do ask that you might continue in your direction of the service this day, and that you might open hearts. Don't let us sit here indifferent, careless hearers. Help us, O God, and a poor preacher who cannot within self do that which is required. Give help. We pray in Christ's name, and we pray for his glory, his exaltation, and that the name of God, the being of God, might be honored in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. In Genesis chapter 4, you've got the birth of the first two children. I believe Eve had to take a lot of blame for Cain's attitude, Cain's pride, and Cain's actions. Because she looked at him when he was born, and she thought for certain, this is the one God promised me, Genesis 3:15. Thy seed shall bruise the head of the serpent. This is the one. And probably he was pampered. Much honor set upon him, for she was judging after the flesh. And then the two come in verse 3 and 4. They come to offer an offering. And Cain brought of that which he had been laboring to produce. And Abel, verse 4, brought the firstling of the flock. To one, God had respect, Abel. To the other, God did not have respect, Cain. And notice that their person is put before their offer. He didn't have respect unto Cain, therefore he had no respect unto his offering. But he had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And Cain became upset. Why, I'm the chosen one. I'm the one honored of God to bruise the serpent's head. And I brought the best offering, and my brother went out to the herd and picked out the firstling of his flock. So he became very angry, wroth. In verse 6, the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You will assume your rightful place as the firstborn in the family, and Abel will be in subjection. There's another verse I'd like to read later on, but right now, verse number 7. And I'll just title it more in our language today, If You Do Well. And I hope I'm speaking to every soul here. If you do well, you will be accepted. Which brings about the opposite, because there's always a negative and a positive throughout the Scripture. The sword of God, the sword of the Spirit, always has two edges. It kills and it makes alive. So the negative of this would be, if you do not do well, you will not be accepted. And I think by your presence here, all of you are saying, when it comes my time to pass from this walk of life into eternity, I really would like to be accepted. All right? If you do well, you shall be accepted. Now you know enough, been here long enough to know that I am not saying, neither is it taught in Scripture that you will be accepted by your good works. Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works? And he said, depart from me. But they cast out devils. They preached in his name. And yet he said, depart. You're not entering in because you did these good works. And there may have been folk converted under the ministry of these that preached. You're not getting in because you did good works. And that very familiar passage in Ephesians 2:8-9, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But then Paul attaches this. You're not going to get in because of good works. But he does not eliminate good works. For he says, ye are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Why, Paul? Unto good works. You're not saved because of your works. You can't boast. But then all who are saved by the gift of faith through grace, Paul said, you're his workmanship, and good works always follows the converts of God. Now this day God has set before Cain acceptance or rejection. You do well and you'll be accepted. If you do not do right, you will be rejected. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30. And verse number 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death. Same every time we gather. Life or death. The preaching of the gospel is a savor of life unto life, or of death unto death. Paul said, I'm not sufficient for these things. But that's the way it is. I've set before you life and death. I've set before you blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. If you do well, choose life. Well, doesn't that run contrary to all you've taught us over the years? That it's not by the will of man, right? But that does not do away with this. Before you use life and death, before you set cursings or blessings, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. God said it to Israel through Jeremiah, unto this people, thus saith the Lord, I set before ye the way of life and the way of death. And Joshua later on uses the same language. 24 chapter. If it seem evil unto you, serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. If you want to serve the God of your fathers on the other side of the flood, Abraham and his lineage, before God called him out, they were idol worshipers. Joshua said, if you want to serve the gods that your fathers served, or if you want to serve the God of the Amorites in the land of this land in which we dwell, just choose. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Ezekiel, as for you, saith the Lord God to the house of Israel, all of ye go serve everyone your idols. If ye will not hearken unto me, but pollute my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. Get on one side or the other. Quit straddling the fence. You're going to fall off on the wrong side. Life or death, blessings or cursings. And I can assure you, and I use this as I told you some time back, Ezekiel 33:11. I can assure you this morning. As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I'm not sitting up here waiting to ship you off to hell. I don't have any pleasure in that. But my pleasure is that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. Why will you die? Don't get there at the door and God say, depart. But why, Lord? Well, I sent you warning time after time, pleading with you to turn from your evil way, but I'm not evil. If you're not in Christ, you are. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Cain, if you do well, you will be accepted. God in Christ Jesus will receive everybody that comes unto God through Him. But know this, that the tree of life has the cherubims with a flaming sword to keep you away from the tree of life. And if you come to God, you will come in God's appointed way. You will come by His appointed means or be rejected. There's a very small door. It's referred to as the eye of a needle, that the scholars say was a place that if the camels got through, they all had to get down, bend on their knees. And if you get in the little door, you'll find the entrance to eternal life at the foot of the cross with you there on your knees. It's not this big, tall, giant door that you can walk through with all your baggage. God's going to empty you of everything. Micah 7:18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of his people, his remnant, and doesn't retain his anger forever? Why, Lord? Because God this day delights in mercy, but tomorrow God may be angry. Mercy is only for the guilty. Only. And it is only displayed in the revelation of and in the resignation of you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't accept a Jesus that isn't Lord. And he doesn't enter in to be Lord over particular things in your life. He's Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all in your life. Now, if you do well here at the foot of the cross, in the revelation of Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and in your resignation of, here I am, or to, here I am, Lord, fully and completely, if you do well here, then you will be accepted and live eternally. If you miss it here, I mean, this is the very heart of Christianity. If you miss it here, then you'll be like Cain. And he says, okay, if you don't do well, then sin lies at thy door. And you'll find out that by an awful display of God's wrath. Now, Acts 10, Peter said when he went down to the house of a Gentile, I perceive of a truth that God is no respecter of person. There's never been one that honestly sought God and he said, you can't come in, you're not elect. Never. God's no respecter of person. And there'll not be one soul, not one soul, not one there today. There'll not be one throughout eternity under the wrath of Almighty God that lays the blame on God Himself. It's your fault I'm here. No, you won't do it. It's not God's fault. It'll be our fault. If we come short, if we do not do well, we won't blame God for being sovereign and God not electing or choosing us. But we'll all take the responsibility. We will acknowledge it before Almighty God. You are right and you are just in casting me into eternal perdition, because I was warned that if I did well, you would receive me, accept me. And you're right to send me, because I didn't do well. I didn't apply myself rightly to the solution that you had, which would provide eternal life. Now, folks, what is it? What is it in God? Remember, he looked at all his creation and he said, it is very good. What took place in God that he now looks in anger with what he made? Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house, chapter 18. And I want you to look. I'm going to preach through the potter and the vessels, the gospel message. So I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work upon the wheels. But the first vessel that he made was marred. So he threw it away. And he made another vessel as seemed good to the potter. Now, folk, here's the thing about Adam and Eve. I fully believe that they are in eternity. I don't have any proof of that. Wouldn't stake my life on it, but I believe that because God killed two animals. And he clothed them. And that's the only reason that that youngest son, whom his mother just looked at as, he's not up to the standard of the oldest one. Both of them had the gospel preached by their dad. God slew two animals and covered us. And Christ looked over Jerusalem and wept and said, "How oft would I have gathered thee, but you would not." The only people who are denied the mercy of God, God says, "No, no, none for you," are those who have forfeited it. And you'll do that right here on the church pew if you're not careful. Jeremiah 8:19, "Have they provoked me to anger, that I looked on and called very good? And now I look on them, and all they've done is provoke me to anger with their graven images and strange vanities." And he asked the question, is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in the midst? Now, we do not have a great manifestation or revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ here. Not a great one. We do not have much of the Spirit of God convicting, convincing, and dealing with. But I still ask you the question, God's let us keep assembling here for a long time. Is not the King in his church? Then that makes you responsible. I'll go home responsible unto God as much as I was before I came down here of what I should say. Then I go home of what did I say. Responsible to God, and so are you. If you think this comes through a mere human creature, then you're not going to pray for him that God speak to your heart. And if you think that you leave satisfied and justified because God didn't deal with you, then you're presuming upon God. The king's here, and the condemnation there in Jeremiah 8 was, the harvest is ended. It's past time. And for America, it's ended. The only hope I have is in one of the minor prophets that here and there in the top of the tree, there's an olive left. I hope it's your children. I don't know that it will be. I hope it's some heavy upon our hearts. I don't know that it will be. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there right now? To a small degree, yes. Why then is not the help of the daughter of my people recovered? I keep telling them, but they aren't being cured. Peter stood up and said, at this time God winked at this time of ignorance. But now God commands all men everywhere to repent. Cain, if you had done your duty, you would not have missed out on receiving God's mercy. But because you did not do right, sin lies at the door. Now would you look back with me, if you're in Deuteronomy still, to Genesis 4:7, our verse. Genesis 4:7, Cain, if thou doest, as a present tense, active verb. And it could be right now for us, better stated, he knew what God was talking about. But it could be better stated for us in this day, if you will turn from that proud heart you've got, you will humble yourself in my sight and go do that which is right, by bringing a right sacrifice, and that with a willing, cheerful, honest heart, then I'll accept you. Cain knew what God was talking about by doing well. He knew God received and had respect unto Abel and to his offering. He knew the younger brother did right. And he knew what God was saying when he told him, if you will, from right now, from this point, if you'll do well, you'll be accepted. And at that day, at this time, when God spoke to him, there was time for him to make things right. For God did not say, if you had done well, past tense. It's all over because you didn't do well. No. No, it's not all over. God said, if from this point on you do well, you will be accepted. So there was a time, there was time now, right here, right now, for him to begin to do right. Three times God specifically said to Israel, amend the ways of your doings, amend your ways and your doings, and you shall be accepted. If you will obey what I am telling you, God's word to Israel, then I will repent of the evil pronounced against you. And folk, we don't know the evil that might be lurking lurking behind the next corner we turn. We don't know the sin that is abiding within that we know nothing about this day, lying at the door. And now God's saying, if you do well, I'll repent of the evil that I've already pronounced against you. Hell awaits all of us, except we are in Christ, clothed with His righteousness. And the whole thing here had its beginning in a sacrifice offered to God. Now bring it to today. Carelessness and indifference in your devotion to God is the beginning of a downward plight, which you end up in rejection. Now hear me. Well, my sin's but a little one if you don't take care of it. Down, down, down you go. And it won't be that one little sin that got you. It'll be the spreading of. Because if you know something's right and you don't do it, God said sin lies at your door. It's going to get you. So God had no respect for Cain's person, which meant that He was looking into his heart. And Cain didn't deal with his sin, not asking you to come down to an altar at the end of the service, but I'm asking you at the point, at the precise moment in which God lays open your heart to you, deal with it sitting there. Cain didn't deal with the sin. It always brings about a hardening of a heart, and from anger within that he didn't deal with, sin's lying at your door, from anger within. God accepted his offering and wouldn't accept mine. And I've labored and sweat, and all he did was watch a few sheep. And from anger, he commits murder. The awful judgment of God against one that doesn't do well from the moment God puts his finger upon something in your heart. The awful judgment of God against one that he's given up. Genesis 4:13. My soul, dear folk, don't any of you get here if you can help it. A dear old preacher, you've heard him, who's now in glory, kept telling us, the only thing I'm doing in my preaching is helping in reprobation. That's about all that's taking place today. Your soul. Now listen, Genesis 4:13. And Cain said unto the Lord, I don't know if you've got the marginal readings here, but would you let me read it to you? Mine iniquity is greater than that it may be forgiven. My punishment is greater than I can bear. My iniquity is greater than that it may be forgiven. And the only thing left for Cain to do, and one given up by God, just make the best of life here. This is all you got. You might as well enjoy it to its fullest. Whatever you want to do, do it. Don't worry about the consequences. You say, won't there be degrees in hell? Yeah. So I might ought to retract that last statement. But I will tell you what Paul said. If there is no resurrection, or if I become as Cain, given up by God, and my iniquity is greater than that God will ever forgive, if there is no resurrection, Paul said, I might as well go eat, drink, just enjoy the day. Because tomorrow we die. If all you got's life here, then I would tell you enjoy it. Make the best of it. But if you have hope of eternal life, at times the cross is weightier than that you think you can bear. Try not to grumble, complain, or murmur, because there awaits a glorious day for all the children of God that meet Christ here and that follow Him at the expense of the loss of everything here. What are you holding on to? My iniquity is greater than can be forgiven. And in hell, when he lifted up his eyes, he had to remember the words of God that day. If you just do well, God hadn't cast him off because he brought a wrong sacrifice. If you do well, if you get this thing right, and you get your heart right, you'll be accepted. But if you don't do well, sin is going to overtake you. And you get to the point where God won't deal with you. There'll be no rebukes. There'll be no more of that soft, tender fingering of God in your heart. It'll all be gone. If you do well, you will be accepted.